Number 3, Part 1, Sales Interviews. Overview of sales interviews. Purpose: learn how to develop trust in the first interview. Develop a questioning structure to open and close the sale. Develop support tools for a structured sales interview. Outcomes: confident and structured sales process. Improved conversion ratios. Sales process: overcoming imperfecta, biggest challenge in sales. Gain trust. Uncover need. Help buyer to understand full implication of the problem. Dollarize the problem. What happens if nothing changes? What will the benefits to them in overcoming the problem? Present solution and specific benefits. Ask for the sale or the next appropriate step. No sales, no money. That's KNOW sales, KNOW money. No referral, no prospect. No prospect, no sale. No trust, no sale. No need, no sale. No return on investment, no sale. No close, no sale. No sale equals the professional conversationalist. No sales, no money. No KNOW sales, KNOW money. Notice. If you want to sell your product to our company, be sure your product is accompanied by a plan which will help our business, that we will need to be more anxious to buy than you are to sell. The planned presentation. Many salespeople believe that they can present their ideas and products to a prospect off the cuff, that is, with a minimum of planning and thought. In practice, so few salesmen are so gifted that the concept is unacceptable. No military battle was ever won by sending soldiers out and hoping for the best. No politician was ever elected by making impromptu speeches that were, in fact, impromptu. No business meeting ever reached a satisfactory conclusion without its content and strategy being carefully thought out by the participants. One of the major objections planned to a planned presentation is that it will... One of the major objections to a planned presentation is that it will sound unreal, canned, like an interrogation to the prospect. The answer to that is, of course, that is up to the salesperson to develop his or her presentation to reach the perfection an actor sees when they perform a part. The great actor does not sound canned when he plays Othello because he has rehearsed the part over and over again. In practice, it would be impossible to sell any product and not to develop some form of planned presentation. After all, if you are selling the same type of product time and time again, you will certainly start to repeat the same words or expressions. Don't let your presentation happen like that. Make sure every word or expression that you use is helping you to complete the sale. By planning your presentation and learning it word for word, you can ensure that you don't confuse the prospect or that the irrelevancies won't encourage his or her indecision. Advantages of a planned presentation sales interview. You will be able to concentrate on the delivery of the presentation. This will enable you to respond to the prospect more easily. You will never have to search for words with which to persuade your prospect. These will come naturally in the most logical and therefore successful order. When the prospect diverts the conversation or there is an interruption, you will know precisely where you must restart your sales talk. You will not easily be put off your style. You will be able to build up your presentation, the answers to the common objections. This prevents the prospect from bringing them up at the stage in the presentation that would damage your chances of securing a sale. It prevents unnecessary talking on the part of the salesperson. Most salespeople talk too much and take too long to present their ideas and products. Sales principles. 1. People like to buy, they don't like to be sold. 2. Trust and rapport must precede any selling efforts. 3. People are more apt to buy when they're talking than when you're talking. 4. People are more apt to believe what they tell you than what you tell them. 5. The moment people think you're trying to sell them something, they naturally get resistant. 6. People must discover their own needs before they'll buy. 7. People don't believe that they have a need just because you tell them they do. 8. Never proceed a sales presentation until a person has admitted a need and a desire for a solution. 9. You can listen people into buying much faster than you can talk them into it. 10. The best way to impress another person is to listen to him or her. Buying behaviors. The table below outlines the internationally recognized DISC personality profiling method. D. Assertive buyers. If prospects or clients display straightforward or competitive behavior, chances are they are assertive buyers. Assertive buyers tend to base their decisions on results. Salespeople should be prepared to offer hard evidence of a product or a service's benefits. Assertive buyers will always want to know exactly how and when they can expect to see a return on their investment. Expressive buyers. A telltale sign of an expressive buyer is their gift for the gab, articulate and persuasive. It is not uncommon for an expressive buyer to monopolize a conversation. While frustrating at times, salespeople can turn the buyer's chattiness to their advantage. Listen carefully for clues about the buyer's needs and demands. Indulge a friendly chatter, but seize opportunities to turn the conversation back to your products and services. S. Amenable buyers. Friendly and approachable, amenable buyers base their buying decisions on people, not products. While it is important to highlight the benefits of your product or service, take time to build a strong relationship with amenable buyers. Offer referrals from existing clients to build up trust. Follow up face-to-face meetings with a handwritten thank you note. Remember the names of the prospect's children, anything that'll add a personal touch to your business dealings. C. Analytical buyers. Although low-key and relaxed, analytical buyers typically are well-organized, neat and meticulous, natural-born debaters, deliberators. They will take their time making buying decisions and rely on past experience to determine future actions. Never try and convince analytical buyers that purchasing from a competitor in the past was a mistake. Instead, recognize the positive aspects of the past purchasing decisions. Then build on these positive traits by emphasizing what additional benefit your product or service can bring to the table. Behavior profile quadrants. Task focus. Task behavior profile quadrants. Task focus. Introvert follows rules, 20-25% of the population. C. Ask and listen. S. Stable, steady, 30-35%. Extrovert. D. Quick to act, 10-15%. Tell and talk. I. High connectability, 25-30%. People focus. The only difference is to know how they process information. Don't mistake an introvert's caution for indecisiveness. How to sell more to each of the different styles. D is looking for results. Be confident. Don't be intimidated. Close sooner than normal. Disagree with facts, not with the person. Don't be overpowered by them. Let them win, you win too. Move faster than normal. Come on as strong as D's, but friend as D is, but friendly. I is looking for the experience. Allow them to talk, but focus, but keep focus. Minimal product knowledge. Provide follow-up. Give recognition. Listen to their stories. Have fun with them. Jump. S is looking for security. Give them facts. Provide assurances that they need. Be yourself. Close when you feel that you have their trust. Assure them of the right decision. Introduce them to managers, service managers, etc. Follow up after the sale. C is looking for information. Answer questions with facts. Do not be too personal. Be direct and friendly. Do not touch. Give them their space. Do not fear their skeptical nature. Follow through on the details. Give information, then close. Who makes the best salespeople, introverts or extroverts? In 2016, Daniel Pink, the author of To Sell as Human, wrote an article for the Washington Post outlining the differences between extroverts and introverts and the space in between that was called ambiverts. What Pink found was the conventional view that the belief extroverts make the best salespeople actually had no evidence to back it up. He went on to note that a meta-analysis of 35 studies of nearly 4,000 people, salespeople, found that the correlation between extroversion and sales performance was essentially zero. 0.07 to be exact. The study found that introverts earned an average revenue of $120 an hour, while extroverts earned an average revenue of $125 an hour. However, neither of them made as much as the third group, the ambiverts. Ambiverts are a group in between extroverts and introverts that sat in the middle, displaying no strong characteristics each way. The term was coined by social scientists in the 1920s. In the study, it was found that ambiverts earned an average hourly revenue of $155. Salespeople who did the best earned an average of $208 an hour and were sitting right in the middle of the extroversion-introversion scale. The reason behind this is that ambiverts strike the right balance, knowing when to listen, when to speak, when to push, and when to hold back. They make the best salespeople. Pink concluded that we're better off being these people to make a more collaborated approach who know when to turn on the charm but also when to turn it off, who combine the introvert's assertiveness with the introvert's quiet confidence. Something to consider next time tells you that you need the gift of the gab to be a good... Something to consider the next time someone tells you you need the gift of the gab to be a good salesperson. Introverts versus extroverts in sales. Extroverts. They love being around people. There are zero sales positions where a salesperson can get away with never having to speak to a customer. Calling or meeting customers is part of the job. And because they're energized by such interactions, salespeople who tend towards extroversion will find it easier to connect with prospects and customers every day. They are animated and expressive. Extroverts draw their energy from the external world. They also extend their energy on others. They are generally more demonstrative, speak more loudly, and gesture more than introverts. Their enthusiasm is likely to inspire confidence in prospects and clients. Consider that we unconsciously mirror people's behaviors and innately trust people who appear to be experts. Small talk comes more naturally from extroverts. You don't have to become the prospect's best friend to sell to them, but being able to relate to your prospects outside their business is beneficial. Introverts. They are naturally deep thinkers. Research shows that a natural sign within an introvert's brain follows a larger path than an extrovert's, suggesting that more mental connections are made when introverts are asked questions. In sales, critical thinking is crucial. Being able to anticipate objections and thoughtfully answer questions is essential for the consultative salesperson, and an introvert's natural ability to think deeply is an advantage. Introverts make great listeners. It's essential that the prospects feel heard. A salesman who won't let a prospect get a word in edgeways or steamrolls past the objections won't be successful. Introverted salespeople don't feel a need to dominate the conversation simply because they like the sound of their own voice. Instead, they'll sit back and let a prospect talk through their problems before offering measured advice. Introverts don't have the energy or desire to be the ones speaking themselves, Bushwick writes. This ultimately ends up benefiting them, as they are able to take what they observe, learn, and use it better to solve problems and be creative. None of these behaviours, of course, are exclusive to the extroverts or introverts. Rather, they are simply easier for people to fall into either side of the energy. They are simply easier for people who fall on either side of the energy continuum to adopt. Transitional versus consultative sales. In sales, there's two types of sales we're likely to come across: transitional sales and consultative sales. A transactional sale is one that is simple and short term. The buying decision is usually focused around the ease of acquisition. More often than not, transactional sales are product based, for instance, computers or home entertainment equipment. A consultative sale has more elements to it. They are often a longer process, where there is often more than one person making the buying decision. They involve high trust, as the buyer must have the confidence in the salesperson to deliver a customized solution to fit their needs. Consultative sales are often service-based, i.e. accounting services, horticultural equipment, and maintenance. Below are a few key differences between the two. Transactional sales. The buyer already has a full understanding of their needs, or think they do. A salesperson's only function in the customer's mind is to facilitate the sale and take them from A to B. The buyer is looking for intrinsic value. This means they are looking for value in the product itself. The buyer is purchasing a commodity. All of their options are relatively similar, so therefore their decision is purely based on who can give them the best price. Price always comes first in a transactional sale. Transactional shoppers are only focused on the transaction taking place. They do not look ahead and invest into the salesperson for the future transactions. Consultative sales. The buyer enters the process without knowing enough information to make a sound buying decision. This may be a result of not knowing what their problem is or having an incomplete understanding of the product or the service. It's up to the salesperson to uncover the issue that the buyer is having and craft the solution to solve it. The salesperson becomes a consultant and must build trust with the buyer in order to give and close the sale. Consultation sales go hand in hand with relationship selling. The buyer is buying the salesperson as much as they are buying the product itself. Remember to sell yourself. Finally, it is our job as a salesperson to turn a transactional sale into a consultative sale. The buyer may think that they know the best solution for their problem and may not even know they have a problem at all. It is up to us to uncover their issue and sell them the solution that fits their needs. The importance of pre-call planning and how to get it right. Pre-call planning is essential for any salesperson to master before they conduct a sales interview. It allows us to make more focused sales calls because we already have an idea about the prospect and what their needs may be. A wise man once said, if we fail to plan, we plan to fail. And I think he was right on the mark. We spend a bit of time researching our prospects before we first meet with them first meet with them. It gives us a deeper understanding of their current situation and potentially how we can help them. It's just best practice. Here's some ideas on how to prepare for your next sales call. Key questions to consider. What is their story? How did they get into business? What do they do? Who are the decision makers? What's going on currently with their business? Have they recently expanded or moved offices or bought some new plant? Consider how their business is evolving and how we can possibly help with our product or service. Research their social media. Read the company blog, listen to their podcast, or even just read updates and links they have posted on LinkedIn. By doing this, you can reference during the interview information you have picked up in order to show proof of research and that you have put in your due diligence. Utilize LinkedIn to see who the decision makers are and see if you are linked to anyone in common with the decision maker you are to meet with. Clients in similar fields. Look into other clients who have worked in similar fields to the prospect. How have you helped them achieve their goals, improve their business? This can help you customize your questions or solutions to your new prospect. Your own case studies will be invaluable here. It is essential that you have some cost analysis examples that relate to their problems with similar clients you have worked with. Existing provider. If possible, find out who the current provider is, if only to get some more insight on how your competitors are operating. Pre-interview information. This is key information you would wish to have prior to meeting with a new prospect. Being prepared with this information will give you the confidence and will show the prospect that you have taken time to do your research. It will also help you in preparing the key questions you need to ask. Key information. Who is the decision maker? Who are their main competitors? What is the average spend on your product or service? Who is the current provider of your service? Current issues that you may be able to help with. Company background, company policies, compliance obligations, current events or legislation that might be impacting on their business, personal connections that you may have through COIs or friends and family. Is there a fit with what you have to offer and their needs? Are there any long-term projects or plans that you may be able to impact? Other divisions or branches? Sources of this information: Google, Companies Office, Chambers of Commerce, Who's Who, Centres of Influence, existing clients. A good habit to get into is to print out relative information, take it with you in your presentation folder when you go to meet with these prospects. This isn't intended as a show and tell, but rather as a subliminal message to the prospect that you have indeed researched the company. Most sales are lost through poor questioning than are ever lost on price. The three truths of selling. Truth one. 75% of the outcome of any selling opportunity is directly correlated to the manner of which the trust and rapport are established by the salesperson in the initial stages of the relationship. Truth 2. Every buyer will make 5 critical decisions in a precise psychological order before you can sell anything. These are 1. About the salesperson. 2. About the company. 3. About the product or service. 4. About the price. 5. About the time to buy. Truth 3. 62% of salespeople never ask for the business. Is it any wonder that 8% of sales are made by 20% of the salespeople? How much emotional influence do you have on the buyer? Investigations have shown that on average only 10% of the brain's intellectual captivity is used and only 10% of all decisions taken on a rational basis. Therefore, 90% of our decision-making process is based on the subconscious. This means that a salesperson's appearance, how they're introduced or the way they're carrying themselves and their manner have a considerable effect on the customer's decision-making process. 90% subconscious. Trust, credibility, and rep and report. To earn and keep clients, you must gain their trust. First and foremost, you must establish rapport. Latin to communicate two ways. Experience and research show that nearly 75% of the success of the sale lies in the first step, building trust and rapport. The professional salesperson makes a sales call for only one reason, to be of service to the customer, to gain trust, to be on time, set an agenda, personal presentation, use the best quality tools, folders, pens, display cards, be organized, research the business, Google, COIs, testimonials, drop names, antidotes, ask prepared questions, take notes, ask permission, listen for understanding, give them time to answer, be attentive, show evidence of organization, set the next appointments, adjust communication to buyer's style, professional phone manner. Unique habits of likable people. Too many people succumb to the mistaken belief that being likable comes from a natural, unteachable traits that belong only to a lucky few. The good-looking, the fiercely social, the incredibly talented. It's easy to fall prey to this misconception. When describing likable people, people inevitably ignore the innate characteristics, intelligence, extravagation, attractiveness, and so on. Instead, focus on qualities that are completely under people's control, such as approachability, humility, and positivity. These qualities and others like them describe people who are skilled in emotional intelligence, EQ. Research data from more than a million people shows that people who possess these skills aren't just highly likable, they outperform those who don't by a large margin. 99% of top performers have high EQs, and people with high EQs make $29,000 more annually than people with low EQs. And a single point increase in your EQ adds $1,300 to your salary. Key behaviors. They are genuine. They ask thoughtful questions. The biggest mistake people can make when it comes to listening is that they are so focused on what they are going to say next, or how what the other person is saying is going to affect them, that they fail to hear what is being said. The words come through loud and clear, but the meaning is lost. A simple way to avoid this is to ask a lot of questions. They don't pass judgment. If you want to be likable, you must be open-minded. Being open-minded makes you approachable and interesting to others. No one wants to have a conversation with somebody who has already formed an opinion and is not willing to listen. They are constant. They use positive body language. Being consonant with your gestures will draw people to you like ants to a picnic. Using an enthusiastic voice, uncrossing your arms, maintaining eye contact, and leaning towards the person who is speaking are all forms of positive body language that high EQ people use to draw others in. Positive body language can make all the difference in a conversation. It's true that how you say something can be more important than what you say. They leave a strong first impression. Research shows that people decide whether or not they like you within the first 7 seconds of meeting you. They then spend the rest of the conversation internally justifying their initial reaction. This may sound terrifying, but knowing that you can take advantage of it to make huge gains in your likability. But knowing this, you can take advantage of it to make huge gains in your likability. First impressions are tied immediately to positive body language, strong posture, firm handshake, smiling, opening your shoulders to the person you are talking to will help ensure that the first impression is a good one. They greet people by name. Your name is an essential part of your identity, and it feels terrific when people use it. Likeable people make certain they use others' names every time they see them. You shouldn't use someone's name only when you greet them. Research shows that people feel validated when the person they are speaking to refers to them by name during a conversation. They smile. People naturally and unconsciously mirror the body language of the person they are talking to. If you want the person to like you, smile at them during a conversation and they will unconsciously return the favor and feel good as a result. They know who to touch and they touch them. When you touch someone during a conversation, you release oxytocin in your brain, a neurotransmitter that makes their brain associate you with trust and a slew of other positive feelings. A simple touch on the shoulder, a hug, a friendly handshake is all it takes to release an oxytocin. Just remember, relationships are built not built on just firm words, but also from general feelings about each other. Touching someone appropriately is a great way to show that you agree. End of number three, part one.